You're jamming with Johnny. We are in Wellness Wednesday. We're kicking it off here. We're having a good time. We've got roller coasters for a question of the day, but we're talking all about healthy eating, active living. I've got DJ Katie in the booth, DJ Renaissance. Please help our listeners better understand about healthy eating, active living. Exactly how much activity do we need to be healthy?
That's a very good question. It largely depends on what your goals are. But for every a standard adult who's trying to maintain their weight and get the benefits of physical activity, they need about 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity exercise per week. So that's like 5 days of 30-minute workouts. If you're doing moderate intensity, that could be a walk. It could be light yard work or playing with your kids. So maybe 3 times a week of 25-minute high-intensity workouts, which can be like swimming, laps, you know, running, jogging, competitive sports, like those types of things.
Okay. Well, I know just the other day I'm getting ready to move and, you know, I was hoofing large grocery carts filled with sea bags and all kinds of things across base.
Yeah.
I mean, up and down the bridge. I mean, does that kind of count as some activity?
Very much.
I was sweating bullets, you know, by the end of it. It was like the middle of the day. So that would count.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
It's weight-bearing exercise.
Weight-bearing.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you're lifting and such.
So that's good for your joints. It's good for your bones. Obviously your muscles. So all of that is really good. You have a lot more activity in your day than you realize. And so that 150 minutes includes all of that, includes all of those extra things that you do.
Yeah. Well, and thinking of extra things, like today it is Wellness Wednesday. We've also got some group PT, you know, we're going to get out there and be active, get some cardio in there. You mentioned something about moderate activity and vigorous activity, and we're going to need a little bit more time to kind of delve into some of those and better understand the differences between those two. So we're going to take a short music break, and we'll be right back.
We're cranking up the heat, Bahrain. It's just what we do. AFN the Eagle, serving America's best.
Welcome back to Wellness Wednesday here on the Johnny Jam Show. We're talking all about wellness, staying healthy and active, and we're digging into activity levels. DJ Katie, we were talking about vigorous and moderate activity. Can you break down kind of the difference and kind of focus in on some of that moderate activity?
Yes. So moderate activity is a lot of what you do during your day can kind of fit into that. It's your heart rate has increased, your breathing is heavier, but you can still carry on a conversation while you're doing it. And there is like a heart rate range that you're shooting for to be in moderate activity, which is 65 to 75% of your maximum heart rate, which you get by taking 220 and subtracting your age. That's your maximum heart rate.
All right, we're using math again.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So 220
minus
our age.
Yes.
And that gets us to that target heart rate.
That's your maximum heart rate.
Maximum heart rate.
So now you've got one number, and then you use that to calculate your moderate and vigorous activity ranges. So moderate is 65% of that maximum heart rate.
Okay. Again, you know me. I'm that visual person.
Yeah.
I imagine that the medical field has good charts for things like this to help us break down some of these ranges.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll even see it, for example, on treadmills. You're standing there and you might even see a little graph and it has based on increments of 10 years and it'll show you on a bell curve what number it is. So that gives you an idea because sometimes with the treadmills and you can put your hands on for the cardiac monitor and then you can see your heart rate there and then you get an idea.
Right. Yeah. I've used those here and there to get that heart rate as I'm running on the treadmills here on base too. So what other types of kind of moderate activity would you suggest for people out here in Bahrain?
So your moderate activities are going to burn about 100 to 200 calories per half hour for someone who weighs about 150 pounds. It'll be more if you weigh more and less if you weigh less. So some of the really good ones are hiking, which you can't do in Bahrain, so maybe take a trip if you want to do that. Bicycling, a lot of people like to bike to work. That would be probably moderate. Anything less than 10 miles per hour on your bike is a moderate activity. Walking, a brisk walk, so you want to, again, get your heart rate up, get your breathing up, but that's good as well. And then weightlifting, like most weightlifting, a general workout, is considered moderate activity as well. And that you can do inside in the air conditioning, which I'm sure a lot of people would prefer.
So. Yes. I'm one of those bicyclists. You know, I like to just ride around town, just joy rides, like you said, under that 10. Sometimes I'll get into that 15 mile per hour range, but I try not to push it too far. So
Right. Speaking
of pushing the limits, when we get back, we're going to dig into some of these vigorous activities that we can do and, you know, why we want to get into that vigorous heart range as well.
Get your cup of coffee or your cup of tea and relax, because you're listening to 106.3 The Eagle, serving America's best.
Hey, we are dancing here in the studio, having a good old time on Wellness Wednesday. We're getting into that vigorous activity level. We're talking about how to get that heart rate increasing and racing. So DJ Katie, tell us a little bit more about these vigorous activity levels and that heart rate and how that works for us out here in Bahrain.
Yeah, you picked a great song to play before this because, you know, dancing is can be either a moderate or vigorous activity depending on how hard you do it. You know, if you do a Zumba, like dance aerobics class, that's definitely going to get you in the vigorous heart rate zone.
And when you're dancing, you're having too much fun to even think that you're exercising, even though you are sweating a lot and burning a lot of calories.
That's true. Definitely a great time. And there are some places to go dancing around here. So, you know, if that's something that you like to do.
I've heard that there's a few places out there.
Yeah, there's, and you can probably get out of the heat. I mean, it'll be hot on the dance floor, but like there's probably AC, so it'd be nice. Mm-hmm. There's some other stuff that you need to think about with vigorous activity is, like, again, your heart rate, right? So it's going to be increasing significantly. So it's going to be higher than when you're doing your moderate activity. Usually 77% and above is your vigorous activity range. Again, you take that maximum heart rate and you multiply it by 0.77, and that's, you know, your target heart rate for vigorous activity. How you can tell without a heart monitor is you can't have a conversation anymore. You're breathing too hard to continue to hold a conversation. And so some of those are pretty obvious, right? Jogging and running is a vigorous activity. Rollerblading and skating. There are some indoor rollerblading rinks here that you can go to if you want to get out of the heat and do some exercise. Competitive sports. So if unit is part of a league, you should join it. You should do some competitive sports. And my favorite, swimming laps. So even a slow freestyle is vigorous activity because you're working out your whole body and you're breathing, you know, your head's underwater for part of it. Your breathing is heavy. So swimming is a good one. And for calorie burn, you're looking at 220 to 300 calories per half an hour for people who weigh 150 pounds. Again, more if you weigh more, less if you weigh less. So.
Got it. And hey, dancing, dance that night away. I'm all about it. I'm also about a little bit of running. So
Yeah. The
other day, I'm bringing up these stories from, you know, days long by, but it was Taco Tuesday, and I was trying to get to the galley. I'm a big food nut, right? So I like healthy food, you know, and I'm trying to get there in time before they close. So I'm running, you know, going up the bridge, down the bridge, and, you know, I feel that heart rate getting there, you know, and it's hot. It's the middle of the day, but keeping in mind, you know, as we're doing this vigorous activity out here, I always think of safety first, right? Stay hydrated, right?
Yeah.
So keeping hydrated throughout the day. And with the Patriot Run that's coming up here in a few weeks, you know, we're getting ready back into that running season. The heat's going to start to cool down. Keeping that in mind about how we're fueling our body during these healthy activities. And, you know, what would you recommend doing after an active or vigorous type of activity for food intake?
That's a great question. So your body's going to need to refuel usually with some protein after a workout to, you know, help you with the rebuilding your muscles for whatever muscles you've stressed out. Some things that are high in fiber to give you like longer term energy after your workout, and bananas for potassium because you do sweat out potassium.
And a lot of people are so very fearful of carbohydrates, but eating carbs is probably after like a heavy weightlifting workout, that's a good time to eat your carbohydrates because, again, that is sugar, and that will go back into the glucose or the glucogen, or sugar as we call it in English, back into your muscles. So again, a nice post-workout meal, if you're going to have carbohydrates such as rice, that would be the best time to have it because, again, that way it's working with your body and not against it.
Got it. So having good levels of the food, the proteins and the sugars to help refuel our body. We're going to be getting more into the healthy eating portion of this, so stick around. I've got more music to keep you jamming out.
Hot enough for you? Try tuning into 106.3 The Eagle, serving America's best.
Welcome back to Wellness Wednesday. And hey, we're having a good old time. We're talking all about healthy eating, active living. We've gotten into the food portion, looking at some specific healthy eating tips for all us out here in Bahrain. DJ Katie, help us break down some of these large glucose chemical chains and bonds that we're talking about earlier.
Oh goodness, we are not going to go into the molecular bio.
Let's go. Let's go. That's your forte.
I did not prepare my notes. But I do want to, before we start talking about food substitutions, because I think that that's, you know, important to have practical things that you can do, I want to give a shout out to my mom, because one, it was her idea, and two, she's always doing this. She's always giving me new ideas of how to eat healthy. So one of the big ones is going to limiting your added sugars, right? So sugar is important. You need glucose in your diet. You don't need as much sugar as is in a lot of the processed foods that we have, especially in the U.S. So you're always going to be wanting to hydrate with water throughout the day when you're working out, 7 to 10 ounces per 10 minutes of workout, DJ Johnny Jams. And then if you don't like water, add berries, citrus, or cucumber for flavor, and it'll make it taste better and make you actually want to drink it. If you're going to be having breakfast yogurt or sugar-free cereal, and then you can mix in fruit to add sweetness. A lot of the examples are like fruit. Is a good natural sweetener for things.
So that's sort of how I start off my meals. I eat my fruit first.
Nice.
And then I go into all of those other things there.
Well, they make a good dessert too. I have a bag of frozen mangoes that I like sometimes will put in the, like I'll just eat them with a fork, or I can put them in the blender and make a like fake sorbet for myself, you know, natural sugar. And then stacking up on those fruits and vegetables so that way that you snack on them instead of on sugary treats or sugary drinks. Also, if you're doing a lot of fruit, you're going to be bumping up your fiber, which is another suggestion that you should be doing, adding whole fruit to your meals or as a dessert to like add fiber to your meal. Also, adding beans or lentils to your salads is a healthy source of protein and a source of fiber.
So explain a little bit about the fiber.
Yeah.
Like, why is fiber important for our body, like our digestive system?
Yes. So your digestive system, absolutely. It helps regulate your digestive tract, and also it helps you feel full for longer. So it helps regulate your blood sugars, which is why you feel full for longer, because your blood sugar is at a steady level.
And fibers, and when people are talking about carbohydrates, and fiber is a carbohydrate, but it's not digested by the body, so it gets eliminated. So you can have your total carbohydrates, but then if you subtract the fiber grams from that, that gives you your net carbs. So that gives you a little bit of wiggle room. And so there's two types of fiber. There's soluble, which is could be dissolved by water, and insoluble, which is not. So by getting things such as pectin, which you get from fruit, and then also eating oatmeal. So having a variety of different types of fiber, that's good for you. But then fiber also helps because, again, it gives you prebiotics, which allows for good gut health. And so your gut bacteria, they feed on these prebiotics, which helps. And the immune system is actually, it starts in our stomach. So 70% of our immune system comes from our gut. So making sure that you're having a healthy gut, and that will affect the rest of your body in a positive way.
I hear you. So I appreciate all of this great advice, because I'm going to, you know, continue to incorporate it into, you know, my daily lifestyle. And hey, the goal is that all of you out there in Bahrain that are jamming out, listening to Wellness Wednesday, do the same. So stick around. We're going to dig into some tips for parents and some more nutrition tips just for you.
Start your morning the right way. Cooling off with 106.3 The Eagle.
Hey, welcome back, Bahrain. We've got some more nutrition tips for you. Specifically, vitamin D deficiency is a really common problem here in Bahrain due to the heat and no one wanting to be outside in the sun, which is totally understandable. So let's talk about some ways you can increase both your vitamin D and your calcium intake in your diet. So first of all, salmon and sardines are really good sources of both of those. You can use packet or canned salmon or sardines with your lunch for a really quick, easy answer to that problem. And you should do this about once a week. Once a week, you should have either salmon or sardines for vitamin D and calcium. Also, some of your vegetables, spinach, collard greens, bok choy, mushrooms, and taro root have a lot of calcium and vitamin D. So if you incorporate those into your salads or your veggie dishes. And then a lot of foods and beverages are fortified with vitamin D and calcium because it's such a deficient problem for people. So your dairy beverages, your soy beverages and yogurts, orange juices, and some whole grain cereals can be fortified. So just look for that on your carton before you buy it. Dairy beverages and orange juice also have potassium in them a lot of the time. Also, while we're on the topic of dairy beverages, you want to look out for your saturated fat intake. You want to replace your whole milk that you're drinking in your smoothies with either like low-fat yogurt or avocado or a combination of the two if you like the way that tastes. You can sprinkle nuts and seeds on your salads instead of using cheese. Beans and seafood are lower in saturated fat than other types of meats. The fewer legs that the meat has, the better it is for you. And then you want to be careful what oils you're going to cook with. Plant oils, canola, corn, olive are better for you than butter and margarine. So when you're making a recipe, you can make all those adjustments to make it healthier for you.
Right. Yeah. So substituting out from, instead of using the butters, using more of the oils or like avocado oil,
mm-hmm.
even.
Yeah.
Something like that
in
definitely. The cooking. What about, you mentioned something about the seeds, swapping seeds. Explain a little bit about that again.
Yeah. So seeds have, first of all, healthy fats in them. So you've got your unsaturated fats. They also have fiber a lot of the time, and they can be a source of protein. So they're actually give you a threefer on your salads, and they can provide some of that savoriness that the cheese would and some of the protein that the cheese would without the saturated fats.
When we were doing Wellness Wednesday last week, the Rock Wall with MWR, we were talking to someone at our table. We're talking to him about the difference between saturated and unsaturated fats. And the way I sort of Barney styled it years ago was sat as fat. And so saturated fats are solid, or so they think, or the alliteration solid and saturated. And then the unsaturated fats are liquid. And so the liquid fats usually are the ones that don't have cholesterol, et cetera, because again, they're plant-based, whereas the saturated fats are based on animal products. So whether it is milk, which comes from cows, or you think of beef fat or bacon fat, those obviously come from pigs and cows and such. And so if you have to have fats, obviously getting your fats from a plant-based source would be ideal when you're considering somebody who has high cholesterol, for an example.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you for that. And I know, hey, we're all, you know, getting older, but some of us are becoming parents out there, mm-hmm. and they have kids. And I know parents are always looking for new ways and new tips to help with their children's nutrition. Can we talk a little bit more about that in a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, we'll be right back. We're going to get back into some music, and then we're going to get into some of these tips for parents and helping with their children.
Listen to all your favorite AFN Bahrain DJs in one place. 106.3 The Eagle, serving America's best.
DJ Katie, let's delve into these nutrition tips together.
Yeah, the good news is we've talked a lot about like the practical substitutions you need to do, so this part's kind of easy, you know? If your kid is over 12 months old, they're watching what you eat, and you are their role model for how they're going to view nutrition for the rest of their lives. So you want to model healthy eating at home. So make those substitutions that we talked about. Make sure that your kids have veggies and fruits and whole grains with their meals, and that you're choosing healthy, lean meats, that your dairy choices are low-fat or no-fat, and that you're encouraging them to drink water throughout the day instead of soda or other sugary drinks like juice boxes. You can also help them develop healthy eating habits when they're older and going to school, to talking to them about like what a healthy breakfast and lunch looks like and helping them make them for themselves, or letting them help you make their healthy breakfast and lunch. And then also reviewing the school menus, encouraging them to try new foods that are healthy and that they might enjoy. And then finally, limiting what kind of snacks that you offer that are going to be high salt, sugar, and saturated fat. So reading those nutrition labels is super important. If you only use them as treats, they will really be a treat. And you can always use healthy snack options that are delicious and people love. You know, an apple or banana with a tablespoon of peanut butter, or veggies with hummus, berries with yogurt. All of those things kids like and they want to eat.
Like ants on a log?
Yes, I mean, ants on a log.
You remember those growing up? Yeah, little celery, peanut butter, and raisins on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of my favorites. I like that, you know, the parents at home are the role models. They're the leaders.
Yeah.
They're the example. And so setting that example for your children and is a great way to get them interested in that healthy lifestyle.
And I think also as being a role model is making sure that we're talking positively about our bodies. And again, I can only think of girls because, again, I'm not a boy. But when women are around younger girls and not say, like, oh, I'm fat, I'm this. Because, again, little girls, even as young as like 6 years old, are starting to diet because they think that they're fat. And so making sure that we do talk positively about our bodies. And as Katie was saying, is getting the children involved in helping make the meals. And obviously, age-appropriate tools. You don't want to give a two-year-old a knife. But, again, things that were within their scope, but allowing them to take part of the process and so that they enjoy the art of cooking as well. And it gives you the pride and like, hey, look, this is what I help make. I help rip up the leaves for our salad for dinner. So making sure that we are doing all different types of things with regards to being role models for our kids.
A lot of times kids don't necessarily want to eat everything you put in front of them. And if this continues to be an issue, like you can talk to doctors about this. There might be something else going on with your kid that you need to get looked at. And for boys, I know there's like a lot of pressure to be like tall and strong and stuff like that. Those things are not always related to diet. Making sure that your kid is comfortable no matter what their size is, I think is important for
And then also just
boys.
Talking with a pediatrician because, again, children eat certain amounts and none of us are parents, so we're not used to what children do and don't eat. And I remember I was babysitter for a friend years ago, and her son's now a senior in high school, but he didn't seem like he was eating at all. I was getting kind of concerned. But again, he was just being age appropriate. And so making sure if you're not really sure, talk to a pediatrician or a pediatric nurse practitioner. And so you get an idea as to what is appropriate for kids. And then children will fluctuate. But again, as long as they're getting their nutrition throughout the week, you should be okay.
Right on. So, you know, set the example, create a safe environment with encouragement involved, and hey, keep eating the healthy food that's out there, plant-based, and then incorporating meats and proteins, you know, as needed to help ensure, you know, that healthy growth pattern and habits, right? Creating those good habits for our children in the future.
Cooling off in the desert with 106.3.
We've got some more tips for all you parents out there regarding nutrition for your children.
Yeah, I think we've covered a lot of the basic nutrition tips that I wanted to get through, but I do think that it's important that when we talk about nutrition and setting examples for our kids, we're also setting a good example with our activity levels. So a big thing right now, or since the invention of screens for entertainment, is the amount of screen time that your kids get. As a reminder, if you are watching a lot of screen time, your kids are also watching a lot of screen time. I know that's difficult to like cut down on. It's made to suck you in. But this is going to include your TV time, video games, and smartphone and tablet use for entertainment purposes. So like for schoolwork, that's a different situation. You want to limit your kids' total screen time to no more than 1 to 2 hours a day. And right now, American children are getting between 6 hours to 9 hours a day of screen time, depending on their age group. So that's quite a lot of entertainment time on a screen. But you can replace that screen time with physical activity, which is our next tip. You gotta help your kids stay active. If you make physical activity part of your family's routine, like active games that you can play together, tag and hide and go seek and capture the flag, or taking walks and bike rides together. I've talked about this before, but that was a fun thing that I used to do with my parents when I was a kid that I loved. That will help your kids stay active and stay healthy and make it part of their daily and weekly routine. And then you wanna also encourage your kids and teens to play sports programs. That helps with their muscle development and their bone growth. And take your young people to spaces where they can be active. Public parks, indoor play areas for Bahrain, and like the pool is a good option. Your kids are going to imitate you. So if you're not active, they won't be either. So you want to make sure you're keeping your activity up so your kids will stay active too.
I like that. You brought up a lot of like fun activities. I remember from my childhood, like going for walks, doing group bike rides, you know, with family members. And I'm thinking of also something that's going to be coming up right around the corner. Tomorrow, there's a water balloon battle happening out here in Memorial Field. And so it's open for pretty much all ranks and the enlisted to go out there, have some fun in the water battle. There's also the softball open league that's kicking off here on Tuesday. It's in September, and that's also going to be on Memorial Field. It's going to be through the winter. So if you're a big softball player and you want to get into some team games, this is just your opportunity.
We're cranking up the heat, Bahrain. It's just what we do. AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
It is 9:55, and you're jamming with Johnny here on a Wellness Wednesday with DJ Renaissance and DJ Katie. And hey, we're wrapping up the show, but we've got some more important information for you.
Yeah, the last thing that I want to talk about is sleep, because sleep is so important to everything your body does, including weight maintenance. So too little sleep is associated with obesity, and also too much sleep for adults. Children are going to need more sleep than adults. So the younger your kid is, the more sleep they're going to need. 4 to 12 month olds need 12 to 16 hours a day. That includes naps. Whereas 13 to 18 year olds need 8 to 10 hours a day. And adults need 7 to 9 hours a day of sleep. You want to make sure people are getting consistent bedtimes and nap times to improve their sleep quality. And physical activity and avoiding electronics both help you fall asleep more easily at bedtime, as well as making sure the bed environment is comfortable. Just as a reminder, like, the longer that you are obese, the harder it is to return to a healthy weight later in life because of your appetite changes, your stomach capacity changes, and you're less likely to be able to interpret feelings of hunger and full if you've been obese for most of your life. 80% of obese children become obese adults. So taking care of your kids before they develop obesity is really important.
And something else that we should not sleep on, and that's MHS Genesis. Genesis is coming to Bahrain on the 23rd of September. It's very important because this is a new electronic health record that is throughout the whole military treatment facility. Make sure that you are in DEERS to update your information and attain a DS logon. If you go on to the Navy Medicine Readiness and Training Unit Bahrain Facebook page, you will see the exact links on how to go about doing this. You want to make sure that you have your military-specific physicals, such as flight physicals, pre-deployment, end-of-service physicals, well in advance of go live. Make sure you have your medical referrals printed out prior to going live. Attain pharmacy refills for a longer duration, maybe 60 to 90 or 120 days if possible, because again, there are going to be delays in pharmacy, making appointments with your providers. And please bear with us because this is a new system for the beneficiaries as well as the providers alike, as we have to transfer over from one electronic system to another. And you're also able to get your medical records from the old system if you go into TRICARE Online, the patient portal. Other notes is that our clinic will be closed today at noon. We have a command function off-site. We will open up for normal hours on Thursday, the 17th. I'd also like to say that the 17th is Katie's birthday, and this is also the last Wellness Wednesday that we'll have her on radio. She has been an incredible Masters of Public Health intern. I've had the pleasure of working here for 120 hours, face-to-face and off-time. She will definitely be missed, but her impact will provide sustainability here in this AOR. And then also for the month of August, there are Bahrain Sports Physical Rodeos, and that happens every Sunday and Tuesday. It's 40-minute appointments, and it's held between 7:40 and 10:40 in the morning and 1300 to 1540. Please note that if the sports physical or a well child check is older than 12 months, then a new sports physical will be required. So again, please just bear with us as we are in the process of transitioning over from Alta into MHS Genesis. Happy birthday to our dear DJ Katie.
Thank you.
And Braxton out.
Hey, DJ Katie, any shout outs?
Thank you so much for having me on this radio show this summer and for mentoring me, Commander Braxton. This has been a really great experience. If anyone is working on a health-related degree, NMRTU is accepting interns, so you can apply to that. So you should. It's a great experience.
Excellent. Hey, you heard it. This is Wellness Wednesday. We're signing off here this morning. Be sure to stay dialed in. We've got the Joint Forces show at 11, and DJ Kramer will be on in the afternoon at 1500. As always, remember your OPSEC Bahrain, protect your PII and CUI, and be sure to CYA from all those open source algorithms out there. This is Johnny Jams signing out.